I can't tell, are they smiling? It's a good time. Pastor Ann provided the sermon for today. I got it as an email and I read it, and it starts off by saying, "My Aunt Dorothy lived on a farm all her life." I don't have an Aunt Dorothy. I had an Aunt Flo, an Aunt Marge, an Aunt Elsie, but not an Aunt Dorothy, and none of them lived on a farm. They all lived pretty much in Bridgeport. So I read it, and it's a good sermon, and I want her to keep it for 3 years from now, and she can do that same sermon. She already has it prepared. So I came up with something different. What kind of person do you want to be? Well, it's a good question, and we need to ask that over and over again, because I think that is the ultimate question that Jesus answers in the wilderness. That question is the temptation of whose voice will you listen to? Dripping wet from his baptism and the voice of God still ringing in his ears, the voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That voice that told Jesus about his identity and told everyone about who Jesus is. The voice announcing that Jesus, as the one who has been called by the Father for this ministry he's about to impart on, Jesus hears the voice, and with it ringing in his ears, I kind of think like one of those earworms when you listen to a piece of music and it keeps on going in your head and you can't stop it. "This is my Son, my beloved." Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, the Hebrew people, they understood the desert because right from the beginning of their life as a people, as God's people, they left Egypt and the bondage there and went to the wilderness where God spoke to them, where God gave them the identity, where God was. And they had to make a choice. They had to listen to the word of the Lord or listen to their own voices and go off in their own ways. And many times they did that. They didn't trust the voice that said, "I will be your God, and I will take care of you. I will provide for you. Manna from heaven, it will come. Trust me." The wilderness, for the Hebrew people, it symbolized a place where you understand who you are and who you're going to trust your life with. Jesus is going into the wilderness. Now, as I grew up, probably still today, there were always those cartoons where on one side, speaking into the hero's mind, his ear, the devil, you know, with the horns and the pitchfork, and on the other side, an angel. And one said one thing, and you had to make a choice of who you're going to listen to. Real temptation is not like that, really, but it kind of is, because both speak into your ear, and you have to decide which choice you'll make. It's based on who you are. Who do you want to be? It's about which voice that you're going to listen to. For myself, I understand my temptations aren't a struggle between the voices here and there. It takes place in between. It takes place right up here in my brain. It's a struggle, not from good or bad. It's a struggle from me to me. It's a struggle between the divisions and the contradictions within myself. A child of God, Yet I have to make those choices. Whose voice will I listen to? It's a struggle to clarify who I am and the values that orientate and drive me into a certain way. It's a struggle to live as God's own child, or it's a struggle to go your own way. To live day by day and not run away. That's the choices. I think that's really what temptation is. In the wilderness, Jesus goes, and he must hold on to the voice of God that says, "You are my son, my beloved." That's his identity. He has to choose that or the voice of another. Now, the devil doesn't have horns and pitchforks and a long pointy tail, but he comes. He comes to Jesus like he comes to many of us. He comes as a friendly helper to help you decide of which way you should go. That's a good way to think about it, as a friendly helper, because, you know, we've had friends who try to tell us what's best for us. Listening to an outside voice instead of the inside one. The voice encourages us to listen to others, others that don't go the same way as God, but offer a pretty easy alternative. This is the voice that Jesus hears, the voice that tells Jesus to run in a different direction than the way of God. This is the voice that says, "Hey, you know what? I'm just here to help. You know, I'm on your side. You should go this way." Really, we both want what's best for you. Luke tells us that Jesus has been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days, and he is, the word is, famished. Now, Jesus is truly human, so he knows that aching in the stomach that we might feel if, well, some of you might feel if you skip a meal. I tend to skip more than that. But Jesus is famished, and he's truly human, but we know that Jesus is also truly divine, God's son. And he has tremendous power. He can do things, and he can listen to the right voice. Fully human, fully divine. And both the devil and Jesus know this. Both of them know that there is power and there's purpose in Jesus. The words the devil repeats are, if you are. Now, in the Greek language, it has greater meaning than if you are, and we both know that you are. Why are you going through all this human suffering of hunger? You know, if you are, it'd be so easy. Just tell that rock to become a good tasting loaf of bread. You're hungry? Who's gonna know? We're out here in the middle of nowhere. Just go ahead. Why not treat yourself? And just like that. There we are. Jesus, what are you gonna do? What does Jesus really want? What kind of person is he decided to be? Jesus' response is, he quotes the scriptures. God's wisdom, one does not live by bread alone. In Matthew's gospel it says, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, Jesus says, there are things that are more important than just me being hungry. Devil says, that didn't work. But you know, Jesus, you've been alone in the wilderness 40 days, and you're probably missing some company, you know, some social, you know, you really belong, because we all belong to a community, you're probably missing people. And wouldn't it be nice to get back to society? Ah, and here's a thought. Wouldn't it be nice to run society? I mean, to do it the way you want it to be done. To be large, to be in charge. You know, many things can go the way you want to. Check them out. Look it, says this friendly voice, so-called. These are all the kingdoms of the world, and they're mine, and I can give them to anybody I choose. You can be the boss. You know, I'm the boss, and I can let you do whatever you choose. You just have to maybe quietly say that I'm the one in charge. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to do, and then you can be in charge. Think of all the good that you can do. I'll let you run the show. You can be it. So what does Jesus really want? What kind of person does Jesus really want to be? What does it mean to be the Son of God? It turns out once again that Jesus, relying on God's wisdom, says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And right away, the devil, that friendly voice, agrees. Oh, you know, of course. There's no argument. What was I thinking? And suddenly, the devil whisks Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple to see all of Jerusalem. And there's one more friendly voice. Once again, here we are, standing on the top of God's house in Jerusalem. Because if you are the Son of God, you know, and we both know you are, okay, let's give God's protection a test drive. See what it's like. Because it is written, he will bear you up on the wings of eagles, lest you dash your foot against a stone. God's going to be there. God will hold you up. Let's see what happens. Everybody's going to see it, and they'll go, wow, that's something. What does Jesus really want? What kind of person does Jesus really want to be? And it turns out that Jesus truly stands, and he surely wants to live out that identity as the Son of God. He still wants to be God's person. Jesus held fast to God's way. Even it meant that he had a human body, that he grew hungry, that he needed society, needed people, and that he needed God to take care of him, to trust God. And what about you? What about you and me? What are you hungry for? What are you famished for? That deep, deep hunger. What do you wish to have control over? What assurance do you need to understand and fully embrace that you are God's child? What is it that you want? What is it that you want to be? I think one of the temptations for us when we hear this gospel story is to think that it's about Jesus. And of course, Jesus can do it because he's God's son. He's got that power. And as much as I try not to tell myself, I am not the emperor of the universe. I can't make it all work out the way I want to. I ain't God. That's Jesus. He can handle it. I can't. That's what we might say to ourselves. We do it all the time. Jesus is Jesus, and we ain't Jesus. And it's true. We aren't Jesus. We are not Jesus, and we are not saviors, and we are not those particular chosen ones who've been sent to save the world. But we still have that mission. Like Jesus, we're called. We're called in our baptism. That voice that comes to us that says, you are my child, my beloved. It's the calling that we've received and we still receive in this wilderness of ours, in the wilderness of the world that confronts us. Which way do you want to go? Which voice will you listen to? God's call or the call and the lures of the world? In this wilderness of ours, God is present. And it should sound like an earworm in our ear to say, you are the chosen ones of God. But oftentimes, we're listening to that other voice. It might seem like Jesus was alone in the wilderness and the devil was his only friend to turn up, but the Spirit of God is still with him. God is present. The world belongs to God, not the devil, not to ourselves. The world belongs to God, kingdoms and wilderness and everything. He's there. And no, we aren't Jesus, and no, we are not alone. Jesus was never alone. God, the Spirit of God, was always with him. He knows what it is to wish things, to set the kingdoms of the world right. He knows what it is to have a body that can be hurt, that can hurt and healed or even killed. Jesus fully and willingly shares those things with this human community, with us. And yet Jesus is not alone. We're not alone. He's not alone and friendless in the wilderness. We are together. This is the friendship that binds us together, to listen to that voice of God. We share with Jesus the water of baptism and God's promise that we too are beloved children of God. And Jesus freely shares himself with us as bread in the wilderness. So, once again, there's that question. What do you want to be? Who do you want to be? I pray that we will be always God's child and hear that voice when we have to make decisions, when we have to live this world and the mission that Christ gives us. Amen.